Wow, good morning, everyone. You can't see you, but I get to see you, and y'all look fine. Look at your neighbor this morning and say, you look fine. Come on. Yeah, tell somebody else. Man, that felt good. Tell somebody else. Say, you look fine. 100 years old, and you still look fine. Come on. Can we give it up for her? We love you. Oh, my goodness. I felt like I was leading worship just for you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I just felt like everybody else, yeah, whatever. But, you know, you're pretty awesome. My goodness. What a joy.
C'est vraiment un plaisir pour être ici avec vous ce matin. Et merci pour tout le monde qui parle français. J'ai un grand cœur pour les francophones. Et en fait, notre CD, c'est en français aussi pour vous. Alors, pas ici, mais sur l'Internet. Amen.
But basically, I just told them that they're the best people in the world. My wife and I have a big heart for the Francophone nations of the world, and our CD was actually released in French before it was released in English this year, which was really special for us, and it will be released in Spanish later this year as well. We believe that the nations need to be singing to the Lord in their languages, and that's something that we get to be a part of. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. So I'm not going to be long-winded today. I'm really having an ADD moment with all the sand between my toes. I'm a water guy, and everything in me wants to ditch the mic and just dive in that lake. So if that happens mid-sermon, I warned you. I want to share with you for just a few moments today about something that has been a theme that I've been feeling in my own heart in terms of how I view the Lord. And my hope for you today is that it would be an encouragement to you in your lifestyle of behaving and acting like Jesus, because that's the goal for us Christians, right? Come on, is that we act like Jesus, all right? That's what the world really needs right now. God bless y'all Canadians, because you're having a great year. Us Americans, the U.S. right now, I mean, have you seen the news at all? Come on. I mean, we were driving over the border last night, and there's a billboard that says, if you get trumped, you can move here. I'm like, you're all okay, people. Canadians, you're all right, man. You're my people, yo. This works. But the world is in a mess. And can I tell you, I don't want to get political today, and that's not the point of the message, but I got to drop this on you. There is no government made by man that will heal the needs of mankind. It's impossible. The only answer for humanity, the only answer for all of the needs of humanity, for social injustice, for economic upheaval, for all the things that are happening culturally. Can I tell you, when we get closer to these kinds of events where I'm like, man, we are stupid, all I hear in my spirit is, but Jesus is the answer. The kingdom is the answer. And here's one more for you. The church is the answer. The church, even church on the beach, there is something inherent in you today. If you are saying, I love Jesus today, that's why I'm here. If there is something inside of you, if that's you, there is something inside of you that is inherent in meeting and solving the needs of the world around you. It is, you were born to do this stuff. You were born to meet needs. You were born to bring answers that nobody else has. When governments are falling apart, you are the ones who are not. That is the role of the church in the earth. Can I get an amen from somebody in the house? One more time. Can I get an amen from somebody in the house today? Man, look at your neighbor one more time and say, this is going to be all right. Oh, yeah. So here's the theme. Here's the theme. Many times we focus on Jesus and what he did at Calvary, meaning sacrificing his life, taking our sins upon him so that we might be free, dying in our place, having the atoning sacrifice. These are all themes that we talk a lot about when we speak about Calvary. But the danger of only speaking about Calvary is we can miss the significance of all the rest of his life leading up to Calvary. And I find what we see in Jesus's life leading up to Calvary is very revealing about how we are to lead our lives. How God is asking us as believers to lead our lives. And even for those of us today, you're sitting in the chairs and you're like, man, this crazy bald white guy is pretty weird. I don't get it, but he has a beautiful wife. And I'm like, amen. Amen. I might not get the whole thing you're thinking, but here's what I want you to see, is that even whether we are a Christian or not, no matter where we are on the scale, the example of Jesus' life speaks to us in every circumstance. Speaks to us in every season of our lives, whether we're a brand new baby or a vital young woman who has seen a couple birthdays. He's speaking to us. And this started, I believe, even with his birth. Think about this for just a minute. I'm going to read you two scriptures. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, and he said this, talking about Jesus. Instead, he, Jesus, gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born a human being. In Hebrews 2:14, it says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Everybody, listen to me this morning. There is something amazing about the very first decision that God made about being here with humankind. And I need to hit this home for you, because we have a tendency to project what we want on other people, whether or not they want it. Now, I know y'all Canadians don't do that, but America, you know, U.S. people, we have a hard time of doing this sometimes. Listen, this is what I think about you Canadians. You are like a more polite version of us. No, for real. Like, we travel the nations, and when Canadians walk into a bus stop somewhere, I can't tell where they're from. You're just a much more polite version of us. This is not self-deprecating. This is the truth. When Americans walk into the bus station, it's like, oh Jesus. Oh Lord. We're so loud and obnoxious sometimes. Come on. Hey, don't hide. Americans, where are you? This is not your moment to hide. You are not supposed to shrink down, because I'm slamming you, right? It's just the truth, right? I am proud of that. I am proud of that. But think about this for one second. Think about this for one second. Jesus decided not to appear as some celestial being when he could have. He decided to appear in flesh and blood when he didn't need to. Think about this. How many of you, when you leave the country and you go to another country, you're hoping and you're expecting even that somebody else from that nation will speak English? Come on. I'm hanging my dirty laundry out too. I expect you to speak English. If you don't, I'm somewhat disappointed. The whole world speaks English, right? Come on. And yet Jesus did not expect humanity to speak some divine language. He learned Aramaic. Think about that for one moment, that God himself, who created language, decided to learn Aramaic. Why? For him? No. Because he knew in his heart that he wanted to make it as easy as possible for people to come to know him. And for whatever reason, taking on flesh and learning a different language was what it took to bring people closer to the Lord. Learning French as a New York upstate boy is a hard thing to do. It's the language of heaven, because it takes an eternity for you to learn it. But there was something deep in my heart when I was a young man that said, maybe more people will be won to the Lord if I learn French. There's got to be something in you and I that identifies with this character of Jesus that says, I want to do everything I can to lay aside my privilege. We've been hearing a lot about that in U.S. news. To lay aside my privilege and take on that which is foreign to me. Take on ideas that are foreign to me. Take on mentalities that are foreign to me. Take on ways of operating, behaviors, attitudes that are different to me. Why? So that I might, as Paul said, be all things to all people. That I might draw you closer. And I would submit to you today, can I just say this? I think that was a pain in Jesus' butt. I do. I don't think he was like, oh, this is going to be great. Human flesh, here we go, rock on. I don't don't think he was like, Aramaic, can't wait, where's the textbook? Why do I think that? Because at the end of his days, he said, Father, if there's another way, take this cup from me. He did not do it for him. He did it for us. But then it gets worse, because then God in flesh, speaking Aramaic, now gets introduced to a whole bunch of crusty dudes. Crusty dudes. Everybody say crusty dudes. Look at your neighbor and say, they were crusty, yo. Right? I mean, the Bible calls them disciples. But they were crusty dudes. In fact, most scholars believe that these were very young men. We have a couple tips to that, because rabbis is what they called Jesus, by the way. Rabbis never took disciples after the age of 18. It was uncustomary to do that. It was not a part of the rabbinical tradition. Secondly, there was only one man among them who had to pay the temple tax besides Jesus. The temple tax was for all men to pay over the age of 18. Only Peter had to pay the temple tax. All the other 11 guys didn't. I wonder how old they were. Very interesting. These were crusty dudes. These were also dudes that did not get picked first string. In other words, they were not the MVPs of the team. Why? Because the rabbis would travel through town looking for young men, the best and the brightest, to bring into the rabbinical tradition. And so if you were left to go after your father's practice, in their cases, some were fishermen. Others went into tax collecting. Simon the Zealot was a radical, political, crazy man. It means that you didn't get selected by the rabbi because you weren't good enough. And then Jesus comes along, maybe a beach just like this, and looks out at the fishermen in the water and says, hey, young men, come here. And if the parents were around, they were like, he's a rabbi. You want our kids? Wait, no. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you look good. Okay, go, baby, go. And Jesus picked them, but they were crusty. The sons of thunder. There are two young men, the sons of thunder. That's what Jesus called them, the sons of thunder. Why? Because I think they were loudmouths. I think they were obnoxious. The Gospel of Luke tells us that they were walking to a town and they saw that these people didn't want to see Jesus, and they got so upset and so offended, they said to Jesus, Jesus, do you want us to call down fire on them? I have three sons, yo. A daughter and three sons. I understand what Jesus was feeling. These were crusty dudes who did not yet understand the kingdom. And can I tell you that the patience it took for Jesus to hang out with people he did not necessarily like cost him something? How many of you have had to hang out with people you don't really necessarily like? Now, don't raise your hand. It's embarrassing. Come on, keep it down. Jeez, what is this, church? Beach church. You got it, girl. Or boy, I can't see you. I just heard a little voice. Thank you. It cost him something. How many of you have ever been with somebody and you're like, oh, God, why did you put me with this person? No, I'm talking about your spouse. God, why did you put me with this person? I think it cost Jesus on the night, the most important night of his life. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says that my soul is troubled as unto death. If any one of you had a friend that said, my soul is troubled as unto death, you'd be like, yo, what's up, man? Come on, let's talk. Let's go out for coffee, something. Right? We're in Canada, the bat's blue. Come on, bring it on. We will hang out. Something. And on the most important night of his life, he couldn't even get them to stay awake for a prayer meeting. I think Jesus knew exactly what it was like to be human, exactly what it was like to be frustrated with humanity, exactly what it was like to be frustrated with a body that's not doing what it should be doing. I think he knew exactly what it was like to be with people that were a crusty group. And yet, he still died for us. He loved us enough to go, I see past all of your insecurities. I see past all of your failings. I see past everything going on in your life, and I still am crazy about you. I still think you are the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen. I would put on flesh and learn Aramaic every day if I had to, because you are worth it. Look at your neighbor and say, you were worth it for Jesus. Look at somebody else. Come on, you're not getting this yet. Look at one more person. Look right in their eyes. Look through their sunglasses, nose to nose if you have to. You were worth it for Jesus. Man, I love on that last point, the sun just came out, right? Suddenly I felt like I was too attractive for you and you had to look away. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to say to you today. I believe there are two probably groups of people in this wonderful sanctuary that we have today. Isn't it awesome? And I want to pray for you if you kind of fit into one of these two categories. The first is that you are going through something in which you think that God is too far beyond where you're at. Either A, he can't help you, or B, he's so offended by your conduct and your behavior that he wants nothing to do with you. Can I tell you that neither of those things have ever crossed his mind? Because he's crazy about you. He spent his whole life demonstrating unconditional love for crusty people like you and me. And the last two millennia, as far as I can tell, he hasn't given up once on anybody. And if he has, please tell me, because it'll be the first time. God is after you. He loves you. He thinks you are awesome even when you make mistakes. And I know that because I'm an inferior father. He's a superior father. But even when my kids make mistakes, I still look at them and go, yeah, but you're my son. Yeah, but you're my daughter. You think your behavior can change blood? You think that your attitude can change how I've decided to love you? You don't know your daddy very well. Nothing can change his opinion of you. And if that's you today, I'm going to pray for you in just a second that you would understand the love of the Father for you. You would understand his long suffering. You would understand that he is patient with you, just like Jesus was patient with Peter. When Peter would deny God, Jesus was still patient with him. And scholars tell us that the legend of St. Peter, as it were, is that he was eventually crucified, and crucified inverted, because he would not want to be compared to the majesty of his king when he was crucified. The second group of people today are those, you're going, yeah, Jesus, how did you do that? Because I don't know if I can do that to people. You're frustrated right now with some people in your lives. You're going, man, whew, God, how did you handle that person? How did you handle that situation? Some of you have been in situations that have been going on for years, and you feel like you have nothing left to give. You don't know how to be patient anymore. You don't know how to be any more long-suffering. You are so frustrated with crusty people in your life, and you're hearing me talk, and you're like feeling convicted because, man, I need some of that grace that you operated in, Jesus. Can I tell you this? Everybody listen. His grace is here for you. Today might be the straw that breaks the camel's back for you. Literally, if you didn't come to this service, you're like, I don't have anything left. The next time that person and I talk, they're going to get everything I got, and it's not going to be pretty. Ever been there? And in the 11th hour, in the last minute, God says, and I believe he's saying this to you today, I will give you my resources now. In other words, I've been watching you operate with your own resources, out of your own capacity, trying to love people, trying to be patient with people. And how far has it gotten you? Maybe a little bit. But now he says, now I'm going to give you my resources. How many would like the resources of heaven to minister to and love crusty people in your life? Oh, good. I preached the right message. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gathering, Church on the Beach, where we could take a moment just to sing your praises, to listen to your word, and to realign our focus and our perspective on who you are. Lord, for every person gathered here, no matter what season of life they're in, whether they've been walking with you, Jesus, for decades, or they have yet to even surrender their heart to you and say, Jesus, I believe that you are King and God. Take me. I pray that you would bless them. For the first group of people, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would minister as only you can to the depth of their heart. As if God was saying to you, listen, I love you. I made you, and I will outlast you with my patience, with my open arms, with my affection for you. And he says, there is nothing that you could ever, ever do to make me resist you. And so he calls to you this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling because of sin in their past that they have never even forgiven themselves for. Lord, that they would see your love seeping into the cracks of their heart, that they would feel your patience, the depth of your character, the reality of how passionate you are for them. I pray that that would seep into their souls today, and that they would leave this beach knowing one thing, God is crazy about me. Lord, for those today that are on another side of this equation, which is that they've been really struggling to be Christ-like, like you, God, to those around them. And we put our excuses up. Well, you don't really know how this person is, or you can't imagine what they've done to me, or, man, if you were only in my shoes for a mile. But Jesus says to you, but I've been in those shoes. That's why I took on flesh. That's why I learned another language. That's why I surrounded myself with inferior people, because I believed they were superior all along. Lord, to that group I pray, and I include myself in this number, that you would give us your grace and your patience that are not just human ideas, but they are supernatural in origin. The resources of heaven. Father, I pray that the resources of heaven would be our portion today, that we would administrate your love as something divine, not as something carnal. We would administrate your patience with people that just rub us the wrong way, not as something carnal, but as something divine in origin. That you would empower us to be your people and change the world. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We all say amen together. Amen.